Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn are the ultimate banjo family who individually and together have challenged and expanded the boundaries of the instrument, whether in duo, within their Sparrow Quartet, or with an array of their other bands and projects. Their latest EP is appropriately titled Banjo Banjo, and they'll be performing twice within the KLCC listening region tonight, February 10th, there at the Jakewood Concert Hall of the Shedd Institute in Eugene, and on Thursday, February 11th, at the Tower Theater in Bend. At the moment, Bela Fleck is here with me live in the KLCC studios. Thanks for coming over, Bela.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be here again.
Nice to be able to tour with your wife as well. That makes life nicer, doesn't it?
It's really cool. And we've got a child that's 2 years and 8 months old, little Juno, little boy. And that's a big part of why we're now touring together. And it's very sweet.
Does he show any prowess on the banjo himself yet?
Oh, yeah. He can kick my ass.
Well,
his mother's tougher to beat.
Let's dive into a little bit of music, shall we, we talk about it? What do you feel inspired to do here?
I have no idea, but excellent. That's kind of usually the way I do it. Thank you.
Baylor Fleck, a little improvised solo banjo in the KLCC studios, live tonight in duo with Abigail Washburn at the Jacob Concert Hall of the Shed in Eugene, and tomorrow night in duo as well at the Tower Theater in Bend. When you dive into an improv like that, is there any particular process or structure, or is it just all subconscious, what emerges?
Well, that's a good question. It's a lot of subconscious that you try to allow to do its thing, but you sort of feel like you're involved. And usually what I do is sort of like screw around and look for ideas and see what occurs, and I'll do that until I become frightened. And at that point, I'll play something I know. And in this case, I went into a tune called Big Country that I've known for a long time, that I've written a long time ago and played. But before that, I couldn't tell you exactly what happened.
Yeah. That's one of the great things about creativity, is the mystery that's inside of us as well as inside of the world.
It really is, and I love diving off the deep end. In fact, for me, in a lot of ways, it's easier to play things that I don't know and freely with no boundaries and no right or wrong than it is when I try to play something that's set, like, for instance, a classical piece or an intricate piece where I have to play every note perfectly, because then there's a wrong. Yeah. But when you're improvising, there really is no wrong. And so it's a lot of fun to play that way for me. Kind of stream of consciousness is another way to look at it.
So how much improvisation is there in the duo context with Abigail?
Well, I get my chances. And I think what's fun about the duo is that we both get to do what we do well. And so it would be silly if, for instance, Abby was expected to do a lot of free improvising when that's not her milieu, and it would be equally freaky if I was suddenly expected to sing lead, which is not my milieu. She's a fantastic singer, and she's a great clawhammer player, and she's got all kinds of amazing influences, including her whole Chinese side of herself. And so we make sure that all those things come through, and then a lot of times she can be setting the groove while I might take off on something or might do an intro. And sometimes I get to play accompanist where she doesn't play and she just sings and I get to play the banjo in a more pianistic kind of way with a lot of freedoms. So we both get to do a lot of what we do.
I would imagine that in arrangement for two banjos, the fact that you have different styles would be helpful in distinguishing the instrument as well as blending. How do you go about the process of arrangement when there is a lot of arrangement to it?
Well, we actually do work pretty hard on that, and we work on registers, and we work on how to support the vocal, and we work on how to make a complete sound with just two people, which it just might be the same thing if it was, two guitarists or whatever. Mm-hmm. You'd say, well, I got to take more of a bass role on this song because you're going to be more the melody, so what's left? Either I'm going to play a lot of high stuff or fills, or I'm going to look for a supportive role that gets underneath, and I like to do all of those things. We also have some other banjos with us, so it's not like just two banjos in the same range, and although we play in different styles, it's still a lot in the same range if we don't change it up that way. So we've got a couple of different cello banjos in different tunings, one steel string, one gut string, and we have a baritone banjo. Both of those have larger resonating areas. They're very deep. And so, like this range that I'm playing in right now, we can both get well below that with these other instruments and then create a combination for each song that sets off the song nicely. We also have like a ukulele banjo we travel around with that's kind of acts like a piccolo, high gut string sound. And, between all of that, we can get a lot of different colors. And then once Abby sings some a cappella, I do some solo stuff. We goof around a lot, and the night goes right by. Yeah.
Baylor Fleck live in the KLCC studios, live with Abigail Washburn at the Shed tonight in Eugene and Tower Theater tomorrow night in Bend. Feel like diving into a little bit more music?
Yeah, let's see what happens this summer. Thank you.
Fleck, live in the KLCC studios, live tonight in duo with Abigail Washburn at the Shed in Eugene at 7:30. Tomorrow night's at the Tower Theater in Bend at 7 p.m. Well, Bela, one of the things that you and Abigail really share is kind of the banjo is perhaps cultural diplomacy in a way. Abigail spent a lot of time in China, both studying and playing, and you in particular went to Africa to trace the origins of the banjo in a way in the Throw Down Your Heart project. Where do you guys have commonalities and differences in seeing the banjo as cultural diplomacy?
It's a lot of fun to take an American instrument to a foreign land and play it for people and find ways to play with the folks there. And it always results in this great opening of hearts. And I first learned it back in the 80s when I was the 1980s, that is, when I was in the Newgrass Revival Band. And we got to go on trips to Egypt and Morocco and India and Bangladesh, places like that, Turkey. And I realized, wow, when you play for the government, which we were doing, you're treated as an ambassador and you have certain status and you have certain things you can ask for. And so I discovered that I could ask in the next country we were going to for them to supply some musicians to jam with. And everywhere I went, a lot of times they were like, what am I doing here? We're not going to be able to play together. What is this all about? We just start playing. They'd play for me, I'd play for them, and then I'd play along with them, and we'd find a way. And by the end of every one of those meetings, everybody was just smiling and so warm and so happy, and even the diplomats were sort of surprised. Well, Abby discovered the same thing, you know, years later when she started going to China as part of foreign, it was a college year abroad type of thing. And she fell in love with China, and she found that she was looking for something to demonstrate to these folks what was so special about the banjo. And so when she came home from one of these trips, she found the banjo and started playing it. She thought, well, everyone's really into karaoke over there. Well, I'd rather bring my banjo over there and play them some Doc Watson songs or some old stuff and say, hey, you're not the only one. You know, you may have a more ancient culture, but we have a few things that you might really like. And so that kind of got her going as a musician. She sang a little bit in chorus. And she always sang, but she was never chosen to be a lead singer or anything like that. So she started singing a little bit of bluegrass and folk songs right after she started learning the banjo. And she went just to hang out. She went to this bluegrass IBMA where they have their convention every year and was sitting around after only playing for about 3 months. I know I'm going on, but I'm going to try to fit it all in and then give you some airspace to respond. And she just was learning to play her banjo. She could sing 3 songs, and she was jamming in the lobby with some people she met there. And a record company executive from Sugar Hill walked up and said, "We want you. You're exactly what we need." And I guess, you know, beautiful young girls that played the banjo and sang in an old-fashioned style like her do not come along that often, and those folks knew that right away. So she got subverted from her plan to go back to China and continue her study of Mandarin and become a lawyer, like perhaps possibly environmental studies and things like that over there. And she moved to Nashville, which is where she and I met.
It's amazing how these roads unwind. When I hear you talk about how the banjo works crossing cultures, it strikes me that it works in a parallel way crossing genres of music, perhaps. I mean, you've done that more than practically anyone with a banjo. Classical music, your banjo concertos, jazz with Chick Corea, new duo CD, the Flecktones reunion, so many categories, more nominated for more Grammy categories than anybody else in history. So you seem to specialize perhaps in just crossing genres. Is that something you've actively tried to do or something that just happened?
It's kind of, it's not a conscious thing like, oh, what genre can I get into? I don't think that way, but I'm very curious and I resented it when I was a kid and I was learning to play the banjo in my teens and people would say, oh, you want to play rock? Why are you trying to do? Why don't you get a guitar? Or if you want to, I want to learn how to play those Charlie Parker licks. They'd be like, well, go get a saxophone or go get a piano or something. And I was like, no, I play the banjo. What's wrong with the banjo? And there was so much maligning going on of the banjo in the 80s when I was learning to play. I guess, no, 70s. And so I found it was a chip on my shoulder. It was like, well, why can't we? And I got really sick of people shouting, squeal like a pig when I walk by with the band or dance, you know, hillbilly. I'm from New York City, so it just never – it always bugged me. So I always thought, well, I want to show people that you can do a lot with this instrument. And as I studied the history of it, you know, obviously the fact that it comes from Africa is one thing. A lot of people don't remember that anymore. A lot of people just think of it in terms of the white Southern heritage and the stereotypes that were created by – the Beverly Hillbillies show, the Deliverance movie, the Hee Haw TV show, Bonnie and Clyde. It was always a white rural instrument. Well, what about Louis Armstrong's first bands with a banjo, a black banjo player in it? What about the black string bands? What about the slaves playing, you know, their African music and bringing it over and mixing it with the folks that had, you know, the white folks here, the Germans, the Irish, the English, etc. So it's a real interesting story, the story of the banjo. There's a lot there.
Bela Fleck live in the KLCC studios, live with Abigail Washburn tonight at the Jaquet Concert Hall of the John G. Shedd Institute for the Arts in Eugene at 7:30 p.m. Info on that show at theshedd.org. Tomorrow night, February 11th, they're at the Tower Theater in Bend at 7 p.m. with info at towertheater.org. More on the artists at belafleck.com and abigailwashburn.com. You have music to take us to the top of the hour here?
Yeah, I'll just play and you just shut it off when you have to.
Well, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure. Good talking to you. And nice playing for y'all.
And thanks to
Michael
Canning
for spreading the word about our shows. Thank you.